you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell live at Hooters. Just talked to Vaughn. Vaughn, appreciate you coming over and visiting with us. He made the trek up to Bristol and was talking about his experience with his wife. And, you know, he was talking about Saturday. He said they were at the track, Mike, from like 3 in the afternoon. Game was supposed to originally start 7:15-ish.
Right.
He said finally they decided to leave at 10. You know, it was just he used the perfect word. It became a hassle. And he said they came back for yesterday, the 1 o'clock start. Ultimately, they played the game. We watched, you know, we saw that. And then they said they made their way back home. But the way he described some of the stuff that was going on, and Vaughn, thanks for listening to Dukes and Bell. He's here at Hooters with the Mall of Georgia. Just crazy, man. Just crazy.
Yeah, we're just talking about it. And again, there's some conflicting information about, you know, could you bring a cooler in? Some people thought you could. My buddies were going, walking up, leaving their car. They said, oh, you can't bring a cooler. So some people didn't bring their coolers, and they found out. Now, again, I don't know, it varied from gate to gate. But, look, I've never had a bad experience at Bristol. I went to those races at Thunder Valley, Carl, the night races for years, even the drag strip. You never had a bad problem. But this one was just a lack of planning, proper planning.
No doubt. Hey, man, we are going to let you hear our interview coming up with Jake Matthews in the 3 o'clock hour. But Andy and Randy, you heard them right before we came on, had a great conversation with Casey Washington, who sat down with those guys.
Who's always kind of like doing things at camp.
He shows up, right? I'll tell you this. If you watch camp and you're one of the fans that have had an opportunity to come to open camp, Casey just, when the ball's thrown to him, he makes plays. And he does his job. And so the guys were asking him about, you know, coming into this year's camp, it's year two versus year one, and what the difference has been for Casey Washington.
It's been good. You know, coming off the rookie season and actually having that break after the season, that was night and day for me, just to be able to have that kind of mental decompress and
right.
get away from the game for a little bit. But, you know, getting back this year, being year two, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
Right.
What do you feel like you know today that you didn't know a year ago?
I just think the perspective that you gain just from a year in the league, you know, seeing what vets are doing, having examples, great examples of guys that you can look at and learn from. You know, going into year two, you pick up on those things and it makes you even better.
How's it been for you? Because, you know, this thing is all about it's a year to year thing. You're always fighting for your spot, and you know this better than anybody. And when you look at this year as opposed to last year, because you, like, it's late round draft pick, but you were fighting, you were still here on a part of this football team. Coming into this year, you're getting more reps because of Moody's down. You got more reps last year because Moody's down. How are you taking advantage of those reps? Because, again, the opportunity is there. A lot of people don't grab that opportunity when it's in front of them.
For sure. I think most importantly, more than anything, just the work that you put in the offseason, in a way, when you're away from the facility. You know, when you finally get those opportunities, the work that you've done and the preparation that you've done, you're ready for the moment. I try not to force the opportunity when it comes and try to make things happen. Just trying to stay in that flow state of mind and kind of let it come to me.
Casey Washington joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Falcons wide receiver, live from training camp as practice, the on-field portion, has wrapped up today. When you talk about that off-season work, the physical stuff you're doing, obviously, I'm sure you're working out with whether it's former teammates or guys around the league, trainers, stuff like that. But then there's also the mental side of it, right? And maybe some film study as well. Like, what does all of that look like for you in an offseason for fans that have never done that have no idea what an offseason for an NFL wide receiver is like?
For sure. I think the biggest thing from college to the league is, you know, going through my first year, guys, and being in college, you have a plan that you're in the offseason. You have 8 weeks to do this. Right. You have a plan from 8 to 12, you got to do this. From 2 to 3, you do this. And when you're in the NFL, nobody's handing you a schedule to tell you what to do. So for this offseason, it was a lot of learning. You got to make your own schedule, and you got to do what works for you. But for me, it was just finding the things that work for me and finding the things that I need to work on too. So there was a lot of learning this offseason just to figure out what works for me. But, you know, it's fun to piece things together.
Tell us about your quarterback, because a lot of times last year you guys were together because he was not the starter yet. You guys were having more reps together with the young guys, the scout team and things like that. Talk to us about your quarterback and his development, because, again, you got more reps with him than any of them last year because of the fact that he wasn't starting quarterback.
For sure. I think both of us anytime we get out on the field – we're out there, and you know we're trying to make the best out of it. So every time we get the opportunity to play together, it's like another snap. You know, we just fired up to be out here and to be playing.
How much do the position group, and obviously for you wide receivers, how much do you guys lean on each other during this time of year, this process of, hey, here's something I'm working on, or here's something I'm seeing. I don't know if you, hey, here's something I see with you. Like, how much do you guys bounce stuff off each other, technique wise and training wise?
All the time, you know, we're talking about releases and, you know, watching each other on film. I watch Drake all the time on film, seeing what he's doing right, seeing how he's finessing things, how he's doing things. So really just, you know, by example, you know, things in the weight room, recovery. Jamal Agnew, he's been in the league for a minute. He's got, like, some yoga toe spacers. I was like, hey, yo, where'd you get those? So I just ordered some of those. They're like some toe spacers. So, I mean, you're learning new things every day.
What does that do?
I don't know, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
It, like, realigns your foot to the natural – the fascia to its natural state. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because my daughter has some for when she paints her toenails.
No. Okay. It kind of looks like
A little bit.
You know, tell me about you as far as – because, you know, a lot of times – a lot of guys, okay, I'm an X, I'm a Z, I'm a Y, I'm a this. But in your case, you have to learn all of them. How is that process going into year two as opposed to year one?
I'm just trying to take it one day at a time. You know, obviously, being able to digest the playbook over a year, I'm feeling more comfortable now than I felt before. But more than anything, just being confident when I'm out there and knowing that I belong. Right. That's the biggest thing for me, because when I'm playing free, when I'm just letting things happen, that's the best me. So I'm trying not to force anything. Obviously, the preparation and the work that I do will meet the opportunity.
Casey Washington joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, fresh off the practice field. You said you watch a lot of tape of Drake. I've got some tape of Drake right here. You were probably standing right there. Coach Raheem Morris lined up on the other side of him, and he puts him on his backside. Our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick, got the video, and he's getting a lot of views on Twitter off this thing. When this happens, what's the reaction of the team?
I actually didn't see it.
What's your reaction now?
I heard Nick Nash was like, "Damn!" And then I saw him getting off the ground, trying to play it cool. I'm like, "Nah, he definitely just busted. He busted his ass for sure."
Notice the guy who did it though. Yeah, but that's pretty damn funny.
Now,
I got a quick question for you, because I know you had the one grab last year. Did you get to keep the ball?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get to keep the ball? No. Oh, man, you got to find a way to get that football, man.
Well, because wasn't it Penix's first completion too? His pass to you, I thought, was his first completion in the league also. Maybe not. I could be wrong about that, but I think it was.
I'm just saying, you got to get the ball, man.
No, I didn't get the ball, but I got my old teammate Devin Witherspoon's jersey after the game.
Okay, that's cool. I got to
still find that ball, though.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to get that ball, man. And talk about that experience in Illinois, because the fluctuation and everything, but you guys were always tough. And then you got this big dude, this big loud dude as a head coach that just wants to beat people's face in. Like, how about that carryover from that kind of program to the league?
For sure. You know, playing for Coach B, he's all about structure. You know, he comes from Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and they do things a certain way. You know, smart, tough, dependable is something that I learned at Illinois. And, you know, being in that system for a couple years and learning from Coach B taught me a lot of discipline. So coming here and controlling the controllables and just staying intentional about what I can do and what I can control, I think is going to help me a lot.
We heard this morning that Penix and Cousins both aren't going to be playing in the preseason game on Friday. I assume you'll be playing in the preseason game on Friday. I don't know if you're allowed to say that or not for sure, but what do you get from those experiences, those reps in a game situation versus what you're doing out here?
Anytime you get a play in a game, it's an opportunity to make plays. So I'm just going to go out there and try to make plays, and the more plays I can make, the more confidence I'm going to give myself and everyone else in the locker room. So I look forward to those opportunities, and I'm excited to play.
Nervous or anxious?
You know, you always get those nerves. Like you expect as you get older for them to kind of go away, but they never really go away. But I think if you're nervous, you care about it.
Yeah, I think that's good, right? Like if you got numb to it, that probably wouldn't be a good thing. But we're looking forward to it. We can't wait to see you guys out there on Friday. And I know it's a preseason game, but still.
Ball is ball.
Yeah, football's football. And seeing you guys in the uniforms and at home taking on the Lions can be a lot of fun. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Appreciate
you, brother. Stay safe. Stay healthy, brother.
Rise up.
Casey Washington there. Nice enough to hang out with us here for a few minutes after practice. And
there he is. And an interesting dude, man. Mike mentioned it. He's a playmaker, and Mike, if he continues to make plays, he's going to help this team in one way or another.
Right on. He was, remember, a six-round pick out of Illinois. He did have a concussion late in the season, make a lot of plays on special teams because, you know, when you're a six-round wide receiver, you got to play teams,
true,
as they say.
True.
But it was actually, looked it up, it was Ray McCloud caught Michael Penix Jr.'s first throw as an NFL quarterback in Week 11, mop-up duty call against the Broncos for 20 yards, to answer Andy's query. But it was back in Seattle. The one game, that was a bit of an ugly game, but he caught a pass from Kirk Cousins, did Casey Washington for his one catch of the year last year. And as we said, kind of got shut down at the end. But he makes plays in practice. He's kind of like, you know, Energizer Bunny. Hopefully he gets a chance to show some more this year.
Yeah, man, T.J. Yates was talking about him today. I was over there chatting it up with him, and he was asked about other guys who've stepped up in place of Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? And he said Washington and David Sills, and there are a bunch of guys.
Oh, that's DS5.
Correct, correct.
Davis Sills, the fifth.
Fifth. Since Mooney's been down, but he's like, there's a bunch of guys. But he specifically mentioned Casey Washington. So that was interesting, Mike, because I think they think highly of him.
And by the way, in case you're wondering, a guy asked us as we were leaving practice, and like, what do you think of Shark? I go, he's dropping a lot of balls. DJ Shark isn't doing anything. So, I mean, that's a body, which is an insurance policy for Darnell Mooney. He was a 4-3 guy with some size. Had a 1,000-yard season, as you guys remember. He's on a one-year deal. But if he keeps playing like this, you're not even going to see that one-year deal. I'd like to see some more out of Shark. I know today it was misty and rainy, but have you seen this guy do anything yet?
No. No, he's not done anything. And look, I'm not saying that to dog him out.
Fact, it just is what it is.
Yeah, the fact is what, yeah. Matter of fact, Mike, I think they probably feel better about some of these guys we're talking about.
Right.
Better than they do about Shark. But again, you need guys out there, and you're going to need guys and bodies for preseason, especially if you're not playing Drake and some of these other guys. You're not risking Ray Ray. So that's just a part of it. But no, he hasn't flashed.
And in case you're wondering, we talked about the undrafted free agent. Always still difficult to make it for every, you know, Jesse Tuggle is an undrafted free agent. There's thousands of guys who never make the squad.
That's right.
But we did see, and we talked about it earlier, Kobe Bryant with a pick of Kirk Cousins. He's kind of sitting in the route on the flat, and he reads it perfectly. And we were joking around about, what about that guy, Nick Nash, the plucky white guy from the Mountain West, who was leading all receivers in college last year? Well, he did have one catch in the final play of the final practice session today. So, Nick Nash, Carl, number 80 for those watching on Friday night.
Hey, man, love to hear from you guys. We are up at Hooters Mall of Georgia hanging out, Falcons training camp as it continues. First preseason game is going to be on Friday. If you're just joining us again, no Michael Penix Jr. and no Kirk Cousins. Neither one of those quarterbacks will play. And I had a guy also, if you're just joining us, talk about the Caleb McGarry extension, 2 years, $30 million. Guys, he's coming off of his best season. Mm-hmm. I know that it's hard to quantify sometimes these old linemen. When you say, how good is he? How do we compare him to other guys? You don't do this extension unless you wholeheartedly believe in him. And the Falcons believe in him. And so, you know, one of our listeners on Twitter, Mike, and said, man, this guy's overrated. Look, we can believe that. How many guys at wide receiver do you think are overrated and they're getting $30 million a season?
Now, the only thing is, and I think this is where, you know, I was a little dubious going into this season if we had the blindside protector in McGarry. Now, Pro Football Focus, take it with a grain of salt.
Sure.
Sometimes it's hard to get these metrics, you know, through your noggin. His overall grade ranks him 29th of 140 tackles in the NFL. So there's, you know, 32 teams, so there's 64 tackles. So he comes out 29th, you know, of the 64 starting tackles. So that's okay. That's a pretty good scene. But then pass blocking, he ranks 73rd of the 140. Run blocking, he ranks 17th. So 73rd out of 140 with Michael Penix's blind side on the line. That was my concern. But they're happy with it, and I think he's having a good camp, and I'm not seeing a lot of action on that side for what it's worth. So, I mean, look, they wouldn't have done it if they don't believe in him. He is certainly sturdy. He ranked 18th in offensive snaps played, so not missing a lot of time. When he did, we did have Storm Norton get in there another year ago. Penalties, he comes in 60th out of 140 tackles. Sacks allowed, he comes in 6th. So, you know, it's
that's big.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And here's the other part of this. You know, durability matters. And being available matters. Caleb McGarry hadn't missed a lot of games, guys. And that's the other part about this is his durability has shown through since he's been here. He has gotten better. But I know for some of you, you're like, what? They just did what? This is the cost of doing business. And I also think, you know, and you'll hear Jake Matthews coming up next hour, keeping guys together is a big part of this. If right. you think he can play, can he play? Dukesism. If he can play, you sign him and you keep him and you go the course. Hey. I think, Mike, you give up on guys that you don't believe can play. This is a big signing, in my opinion, from our general manager, Mike, because Terry Fontenot's saying, I believe in him.
Okay, yeah, this is why I don't do math, and that's why I don't really relate to nerds.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what's up?
It was actually 6 sacks allowed, ranks him 120th out of 140 tackles.
6 sacks.
So I read that kind of back to front.
Okay. Go outside, nerd.
Yeah, it's not my forte. But look, they see it, they believe in it, and they just gave him the loot. So it's a done deal.
All right, man, we got more to get to coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll go around the NFL. A.J. Brown held out of Eagles practice. The latest on the hold-ins, including Dez Bryant. Chiming in on the Jerry Jones situation.
He's familiar with it.
Crazy. And Jake Matthews, guys. Hear what he has to say coming up next.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.